As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 146 and the 5th verse. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalm 146 and the 5th verse. The subject I want to dwell on is one that I have tried to emphasize not a few times in addressing you, dear young people, and it needs to be referred to. Happiness is the subject. Happiness is that which you, dear young people, are very concerned to realize. But in your pursuit of it, you do need to have a right standard set up in your heart as to what happiness really is. Much that is considered to be happiness is nothing more than pursuing a will-o'-the-wisp, and it is a chimera of the brain. And if you seem to attain to it, there is no permanence in it, because you are seeking it in the sources where it can never be found. Not happiness worth the name. Happiness worth the name must be lasting. Happiness, to be happiness, must be permanent in its nature. And now, this word before us shows us such happiness. Happiness that will avail all who are favored to realize it in their soul's experience for time and eternity too. And now, in approaching the subject, dear young people, do ponder in your hearts some of the things which you at the present time consider will produce happiness. You are in earnest in seeking it, but I want you to weigh up this so-called happiness that you are seeking so diligently and go forward in life's journey to when you are about to step out of time into eternity, and value it then. Then you will realize that it is not the happiness that our subject brings before us, which God's dear people rejoice in and have many an earnest of it in time and enter into the fullness of it in eternity. All earthly happiness, and there is earthly happiness that is lawful, real, but it is limited to time alone, and you cannot take that happiness into eternity. I might just make a comment on that. There is the happiness of home life, and to be under your home roof with those near and dear to you, making up your family circle, you're in, you're out, as you grow up until you go forth into homes of your own. You enjoy that happiness, and it is to be enjoyed, and say thank you to God for it. But it is for this life only. As you grow up, dear young people, you will go forth into life, and as you older grow, you will stand by grave after grave, and you will find your home life in the ultimate issue will become to you a happy memory, while your godly fathers and mothers are gone and have entered into the rest that remaineth for the people of God, enjoying happiness unalloyed and eternal in its nature. Earthly happiness, even though it be lawful happiness, is passing and perishing. I have told you sometimes about a poster that I saw, and I will remind you of it. When I was journeying to fulfill an engagement to preach, which said, "The key to happiness," in very large letters, and underneath it was to buy your furniture at Drage's, the big furniture firm. And if you bought your furniture there, then to do that would be to give you the key to happiness. But what a fallacy such an advertisement was. Happiness can never be found in having a well-furnished home. There are people who have got well-furnished homes, thousands of them in this land in which you and I live. But do they know what happiness is? Worth the name? No. No. They do not know it, because they dwell in homes well-furnished. For that is not the source of happiness. Nor to have such a home, oh, that is not the key to it. What is the key to it? Not a furnished home, a furnished heart. To have in your heart some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. To possess a hope in God that He has wrought in your soul's experience. To be able sometimes to sing, "We are travelling home to God in the way our fathers trod. They are happy now, and we hope their happiness to see." And so, in approaching the subject, I do want you to keep in your minds that happiness worth a name must always be permanent in its nature. And much of the so-called happiness that mankind is seeking at earthly sources is no more than doing what you used to do when you were children, little children, bubble blowing. And there you can see the pretty colours on the bubbles, they burst and are no longer seen. And so it is with the so-called happiness that mankind is seeking when he seeks after the flesh and the things of the flesh. You have only to look at folks' faces as you go about the world nowadays to see that with all their efforts to attain happiness, they do not know what it is, because their faces just express restlessness, discontent, disappointment, and disillusionment. Everything hinges on the happiness the psalmist tells us about. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord." is God. There was a day at the dawning of time when Adam and Eve in Eden's garden were filled with happiness, unspeakable happiness, which they could enjoy being the creatures perfect from their Creator's hands. But that happiness was ruined, alas. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the result is that you come into this world, and I came into it under this word of God, a time to be born and a time to die. And yet, when you and I were born, we were born for eternity. Oh, if you could but believe that, it would influence your life as you journey on therein. It is a very tremendous thought. Born for eternity. And remember how near you are to it. Only this frail and fleeting breath preserves me from the jaws of death. Soon as it fails, it once I'm gone and plunged into a world unknown. On several occasions in my long ministerial life, I have been helped to preach the gospel, and someone has been listening to it who has gone on his and her way and gone into eternity. And that was the last sermon they listened to. And now, if an angel should proclaim this Sabbath Eve under Union Chapel roof that one of you dear young people is listening to the gospel for the last time, what then? Oh, what a concern you would be the subject of if so be you could hear something that would give you happiness worthwhile. The happiness of a hope in God, and that all that is mortal of you might be well laid in the grave in sure and certain hope of a joyful resurrection to the life everlasting. Do think of it, dear young people, born for eternity. And now I said, and this is a very solemn consideration, a time to be born, a time to die. The word of God nowhere says there is, mark the adjective, a guaranteed time to live. What do you sing sometimes? Our life is ever on the wing, and death is ever nigh. The moment when our life begins, we all begin to die. And now the word of God emphasizes that view of life. And you must not think it is a gloomy theme to ponder on it. But what you really need is that God should make you well aware of it. And that you should pray like Moses, the man of God. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. When I was a lad at school a long time ago, we often used to sing, "Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed." And that is a good life to live. Live in the light of eternity. And now, have you ever noticed, some of you have noticed it, I am sure, have you ever noticed what the word of God says concerning our life? The illustrations the Holy Spirit condescends to use. There is one psalm which says that our life is just a passing show. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. And the meaning is, in the original, a passing show. And you know, you dear young people have sometimes, on notable days, stood on the pavement and watched a procession go along the streets. It may be to celebrate some particular thing in the history of the town where it was, or some special occasion to be remembered. You stood on the pavement and you watched it go along, and it kept passing on, and you watched, and it was, in the ultimate issue, a passing show. When you went home, you had got the memory of it, and it would never go like that again through the streets, and you'd be there to watch it go by. And now life is just like that. Every day, as you live your life, what you do, where you go, what you say, are scenes in it. But the day dies, night comes, another day is born, and still you're going on. Life is like that, a passing show. And then it says, we all do fade as a leaf. And then it also speaks about our life being as a flower fading. And there is another scripture which says, my life is just a handbreadth. And Moses, the man of God, says, we spend our years as a tale that is told. You think of your life as a tale. And Moses puts it in the past tense, a tale that is told. There is a chapter for babyhood and for your childhood. And when you are a teenager, your school life, and going farther on to grammar school it may be, and then to go forth into life, there is another chapter. And then you have a home of your own, maybe. Your children are gathered round you, and in life's afternoon, you see another chapter with many details in it, but you still live on, and you come to life's evening time. And soon, like some of us, you're turning the pages over for the concluding chapter, and we spend our life as a tale that is told. Job says that his life was like a dream, a shepherd's tent. Then the word of God speaks about it being like grass growing and withering. And Hezekiah said his life was like a weaver's shuttle. And Job says again that his life was like a swift ship, and that went on its way to reach the port for which it was bound. And then life is likened to a pilgrimage. We are sojourners and pilgrims, as all our fathers were. And David says, my life is like a shadow that declineth. But godly James uses a very strange illustration. And he says, what is your life? It is a vapor. Evanescent. The present moments just appear, then slide away in haste, that we can never say, they're here. We can only say, they're past. And now life is like that, according to the word of God. The word of God declares it. Like that. And so happiness must be sought In those sources, the Word of God proclaims where, if we are favored to be the subjects of it, we shall be able to journey on through life with the prospect that we shall arrive ultimately at the fountainhead from whence it flows. As the psalmist says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are laid up pleasures forevermore. Some people have thought happiness is to be found in good health. But there are many people who have good health who play the fool with it. And they do not find happiness in the possession of it. No present health can health ensure for yet an hour to come. No medicine, though it oft may cure, can always bolt the tomb. Some have thought if they could have so much wealth that they could find happiness in the possession of it. But did you ever hear of anyone seeking to be wealthy who, at any time when they became wealthy, settled down and were happy in the possession of what they had attained? Are they not still pressing on with discontent if they can add yet more to the wealth they have already obtained? And they cannot find happiness in living like that? And especially if you keep this in mind, we brought nothing into this world, and certain it is that we shall carry nothing out. Some people think there is happiness in being found in the public eye. Oh, they're on television as people of note, or you hear of them on the radio, it may be, or they have headlines in the daily papers, and they think happiness is to be found in what is called popularity. But that is what I have said. Popularity is just blowing bubbles. And there is no more value in popularity than there is in bubble blowing. Oh, it is very specious, is popularity. And now there is just another thought here. I said earlier on that we were born for eternity. And I want you, dear young people, to remember something which I'm going to say, and which may sound to you a very simple thing to say. You will not find it a very simple thing. As you journey on through life, and when at length you step out of time into eternity. And now, as you were born into this world, that is a fact that can never be obviated. But as you are born for eternity, it means you will never lose your creatureship. How shall I explain that? I will explain it like this. I shall always be Herbert Dawson in time and in eternity, and I shall know who I am, and you will know who you are, whether you are in heaven or hell, because you were born for eternity and you will never lose your creatureship. You might think that over, and it might set you going to seek happiness worth the name, that you might be found at length at the fountainhead from whence it flows. And now I want to look at the subject from another viewpoint. And that is, the people of God alone are happy people. You may think there are worldly people who seem to be happy, but it is only seen to be. If you got down to bedrock in the life they live, and you could search into their hearts and examine their thoughts, secret thoughts, you would find, whatever it looks like on the outside, they have not got happiness inside. No, no. And now then, the people of God, they and they alone are the happy people. And our great concern is that you should be numbered with them. Then come what will, it shall be well. You may not always be happy in your circumstances. You may have trouble upon trouble. Afflictions may be laid on you. You may know adverse circumstances. You may taste disappointment, pain, or loss. But underneath it all, you will find, though our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret sweetens all. And that something secret gives you this wondrous happiness that these people know. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And now I will show you how it is the people of God are the happy people that they are. I know the world looks on the people of God with other eyes. And many in the world at large think the people of God are just a lot of killjoys. No. No, we refute it. We are not killjoys. There are many things that worldlings do that we no longer desire to do because God has given us an aching void which the world cannot fill. And he has given us a standard of what joy really is. And we would rather stand with the psalmist when he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We would rather be with Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Mark the wording, for a season. It is not for very long if you should live to be 70, 80, 90. Then when at length you step out of time into eternity, it will only be for a season you have lived the life of the world at large, and then you will learn, oh, how terrible will be the learning thereof. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Ay, he will reap happiness eternal. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And now, the people of God are happy people because they are happy in the principles which guide their lives. The word of God tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And now when that fear is lodged in a sinner's breast, it gives him a standard of what is right before God. And that is what he is concerned to do as grace is given. And you can say this of all the people of God, wherever they may be, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And although they may suffer at times from the world at large and be opposed by earth and hell alike in doing that which is right, yet they can still be happy in the doing of it. Because you can be sure that Daniel, in doing that which was right, although he was placed in the lion's den, he had quietness of mind, and he knew the happiness that the people of God alone are the subjects of. And he said, my God hath sent his angel, and he hath shut the lion's mouth. Oh, it was a good time to Daniel in the lion's den, and he remembered it as long as he lived. And he was happy as the outcome of the principle of godly fear which guided his life. O cry we to heaven with one loud accord, that to us be given the fear of the Lord. And dear young people, do keep alive in your memories our Union Chapel motto, perish policy or cunning, perish all that fears the light, whether losing, whether winning, trust in God and do the right. And if you are helped to live like that, you will know the happiness of he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, is God. And so the people of God are happy people because of the principles which guide their lives, godly fear, an unctuous light to what is right, and a bar to what is wrong. Another thought is this: the people of God are happy people because of the privileges which they enjoy, and what privileges they are. There is the privilege whereby at any time, anywhere, they can draw near to God. Wonderful is that privilege conferred upon the people of God. Wherever they may be, God is approachable. And they have the privilege to knock at mercy's door with a guarantee of a welcome when they do it. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. This privilege is set forth in the Word of God like this: in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It is a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And if you are helped to use that privilege, you will know this happiness: call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Lord, teach us to pray, to make a right use of such a privilege afforded to poor sinners, whereby they can draw near to God and realize he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that they can ask or even think. One of our hymn writers says this, and he says it well: approach my soul the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer, and humbly lie at his dear feet, for none can perish there. And now, a third viewpoint. You will notice these all begin with P. The people of God are happy people in the protection that God affords them. And what protection that is. God can use whatever he pleases to give his people at any time, anywhere, protection. If need be, he can send an angel to do it. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Remember what I have just quoted, what Daniel said: my God hath sent his angel, and he hath shut the lion's mouths. Yes. And sometimes the godly sing in the house of prayer: a sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. Oh, blessed protection! God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I like to think of godly Jacob when he was on his way, knowing that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men, all armed. And Jacob, with a guilty conscience, knowing how he had treated his brother Esau 20 years before. And then it says, and the angels of God met Jacob at Mahanaim, and they formed a convoy, shall I say, a guard of honor, as he went on his way. And the outcome of it was that Jacob was filled with happiness, and he lost whatever fears he had regarding how Esau would come along. And it says, and Jacob did lift up his feet, and he went on his way with good courage and good hope. And Esau did not meet him with a sword thrust, but with a kiss. And now, that is the happiness which is known by the people of God alone. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, is God. And then there is a beautiful picture of this protection as it is to be known, where Elisha tells us that in the days when Elisha dwelt on earth, there was the city of Dothan, and it was assailed by Israel's foes. And it says that the king, who was the head of the enemies of Israel, sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, and came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. There was that unseen protection, and I believe that has been made manifest thousands of times on behalf of the people of God. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing, and they will have protection whatever their enemies may purpose to do. The Lord will overturn it, overrule it, and they will know, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord is God. Oh, they will be happy in the protection that God affords. And then the people of God are happy people, inasmuch as they are happy in the provision that God has made for them. I have just quoted, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And now there is provision made. Whene'er the Lord's people have need, his goodness will find out a way. He has guaranteed bread shall be given, water shall be sure. And if you look back, ask the grey heads and those whose heads are not so grey, who fear God, lack ye anything by the way? And the answer will be nothing. Day by day, the Lord makes his goodness to pass before these people of his. He has made provision for them, not only for time, but eternity too. He guarantees bread shall be given, water shall be sure, and a contented mind to enjoy it. And he also makes them meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. And to guarantee that provision, in the word of his grace, he has recorded exceeding great and precious promises. And they are all guaranteed in the name of Jesus. So that whatever your need may be, you will find there is one of these exceeding great and precious promises that your need shall be supplied. My God shall supply all your need from his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes. Happy in the provision made for them, so that they can journey on through life and give no anxious thought for the morrow, knowing that he whom they desire to love and serve is Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. And one hymn writer says, he who has made my heaven secure will here all good provide. While Christ is rich, I can't be poor. What can I want beside? And now, there is just another word here I want to dwell on a little, coming toward the Amen. The people of God are not only happy in the principles which guide and govern their lives, and in the privileges which they enjoy, and the protection God affords them, and in the provision he has made for them. Do remember, the people of God are happy in the prospect that is before them. And what a prospect it is, that when time shall be no more, they will be found at the fountainhead of bliss, where happiness eternal will be enjoyed. Think of the Apostle Paul and the life that he lived. And what did he say about it as he was about to step out of time into eternity? For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Yes, dear young people, the people of God alone are happy people in the prospect that is before them. If you have ever seen a worldling die, you would know he had not a prospect of happiness before his glazing eyes, but that he was about to reap the consequences of the seed he had sown in the life he had lived. As I have already quoted, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. In my ministerial life, I have been by the dying beds of the godly and seen the dawn of glory lighting up their countenance till they looked radiant in the prospect before them to dwell forever with the Lord. And once in my life, I was by the bedside of a man who was in despair and knew that hell was his destined dread abode, and he took a short cut in taking his own life to enter into it soon after I left his bedside, and it has left a picture in my mind which I have never forgotten. To think of that man's countenance and the prospect before him. Oh, how good it will be if you, dear young people, should weigh these things up, and if you should be set going to know the happiness of these people in our text. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Think too of Moses, the man of God, when he came to the end of his wonderful life as Israel's leader, when he addressed Israel as a nation before he died. What was his last spoken word to them? Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord? Oh, you see, dear young people, this happiness is to do with our souls. Our souls' eternal welfare. If you should know the salvation of your soul, oh, how happy you will be beyond words to describe. But this subject mentions also the word help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. There you see three characteristics: happiness, help, and hope. And now, what more do you need than to have God to be your help? If God should make known to you that he is your God, and that he is ever at hand to give you help, you will know what happiness is, worth the name, to live your life with such a helper going before you in life's way. And what wonderful help it is. It is not only promised help. When most I need his help in hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And remember, it is powerful help. It is the help that Almighty God can afford you, and there is no limitation to it. Remember that word: he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And then, if God is your help, you will find that help will always be timely help. It will never be too early, and it will never be too late. Just when you need it, the help will be forthcoming. You may not always realize the help it is, but in the days to come, when you look back over the way you have come along, you will see how God was your help even when you did not realize it. To help you to understand that viewpoint of truth, think of Joseph long ago when he was sold as a slave, when he was first of all in the pit, and then the Midianites passed by, and he was taken up out of the pit and sold as a slave and carried down to Egypt. And as he went on his way, how sore his heart must have been, for he was only a young man, quite a young man, and he pondered in his heart the things which had happened, and he did not realize that God was working out a purpose, and in all that was happening, God was behind it to afford Joseph help, that he might ultimately see the fulfillment of the dreams on which he based a prospect in his life as the future unfolded. And although he was guiltless when lodged in the prison, there the Lord was with Joseph and afforded him help, and out of prison he came to see what God had been doing all the while, working out his purposes, bringing to pass those things that Joseph desired, which he had felt in his own soul in the dreams that he had been the subject of. Out of prison he came to reign. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. He may be helpless. Oh, the people of God are made to feel helpless. very often in the dealings of God with them, and to learn that none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good, but they are never hopeless. No, no. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And if you look at the subject from that viewpoint, although I will not keep you longer to open it up, you can just think of Jonah in the whale's belly. And now you might have considered Jonah would be hopeless in such a case. But God kept hope alive in Jonah's breast, and he says, "Out of the belly of hell cried I, though I am cast out of thy sight, I will look again toward thy holy temple." And the Lord delivered Jonah, and he was useful in the service of God afterwards. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And now, regarding this help, there is one of our hymn writers who says this: "Should poverty or loss of all created good conspire to make our weighty cross, our helper still is God." And as I come to the amen, I want to read you a verse here. "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." And that is our concern as we preach the gospel all the year round to you. And those who love you and teach you, dear scholars in the Sabbath school, also, that you shall ultimately come with us. And if you should be helped to do that, then we would do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. The good that you will enjoy will be the happiness of he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The Lord help you to think on these things. Amen.